welcome to the 9th season of Travelitch Radio, the show that lets you scratch your lust for travel from the friendly confines of your home. I'm your host, Dan Schlossberg, along with my beautiful and talented new co-host, Keita Roberts, also known as Girl Carnivore, because of her creative and colorful culinary expertise. Every week at this time, we bring you inside the world of travel, from hotels and tours to cruise ships, planes, trains, and things you can eat or read on your trip. Listen live on iTunes or blogtalkradio.com, or check out the show later on Facebook, blogtalkradio.com, or my website, danschlossberg.net. Tonight, in the 351st edition of Travelitch Radio, we have two terrific guests. Jessica Weisson, I hope I got that right, tourism sales manager of Visit Omaha, and Ken Schluter, an Omaha tour host who's an expert on the city's significant railroad legacy. Let's start with Jessica. First of all, welcome to Travelitch Radio.
Thank you so much, Dan. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you, Jessica. When I visited Omaha for the first time earlier this month for ABA, the American Bus Association Convention, I learned the city had the world's largest stockyards and one of the world's largest railroad yards and has great museums, great food, and a world-class zoo. But our listeners want to hear from you why Omaha is such a special place.
I'm excited to tell them about it today. Let's get to it.
Okay, go ahead. Tell us.
Okay, well, Omaha, first off, I was born and raised in Omaha, and I called this city home, and it's just taught me a lot of things over the last few years. Like you said, we have a world-class zoo. We do love our beef. Omaha Steaks is well-loved, and we got a lot to talk about, that's for sure. And Warren Buffett, of course, calls Omaha home, and so why wouldn't you want to come and visit us?
Well, in the 9 years we've been doing Travelitch Radio, we've never done Nebraska. But after spending 5 days there earlier this month during the ABA convention, I learned a lot about it. Is it fair to say that Omaha gave the world Johnny Carson, Warren Buffett, and the Reuben sandwich?
I would absolutely say so, Dan. We definitely gave Johnny Carson his start to his career, as well as we gave Warren Buffett a platform to really build his shareholders and his community as well. And then, yeah, the Reuben, you touch on a good piece of history for Omaha. The Reuben was invented by a grocer named Reuben in the middle of a poker game. They played poker in the basement of the Blackstone Hotel and would just throw together some food when they got hungry late in the night, and that's what he came up with. And now it is a world-famous sandwich, and we can call it ours.
That is incredibly exciting, and we will come back to food in a second. But so many faces came from Omaha. Henry Fonda, Marlon Brando, Bob Carey, Gerald Ford, in addition to Johnny Carson and the Baseball Hall of Famer Bob Gibson, not to mention, which we've already said, Warren Buffett. But who also still lives there? What brought everybody to Omaha?
Well, actually, Keita, they were all born in Omaha and raised in Omaha, so that's where they got their foothold, and that's where they started their lives. And many of them do. They keep ties to the city over time, and as Warren likes, he's just been a very humble addition to the city, and we definitely treat him well, and he loves to stick around with us.
Awesome. Now back to that food thing, and I have personally worked with Omaha Steaks before on the meat side of things, but I do love them. So what makes Omaha Steaks an Omaha Steaks? And also, give me a couple of steak houses I have to try when I do come to town.
Absolutely. So as I said earlier, we do love our beef. Omaha Steaks is named Omaha Steaks because it actually began as a small-scale butcher shop in the middle of downtown Omaha. And over time, they found themselves on the menus of railroad dining cars and troop transport trains, and then they started doing their mail-order ventures, and then they soon had a notoriety that reached global proportions. Today, they remain one of the world's most esteemed meat purveyors. So, yeah, Omaha, we pride ourselves on our beef because it is Nebraska raised. Some old school steakhouses, I'll start with that. Old school steakhouses, you can check out Garotts, which is our favorite Warren Buffett's favorite steakhouse. You can also order his meal that he gets when he is in the restaurant. There's also Anthony's or Cascio's. And Cascio's is actually one of the oldest steakhouses in Omaha, located in our Little Italy district. Now, if you do want to take more of that newer take on a steakhouse, a little more upscale, we do have Sullivan's and Spencer's, 801 Chop House, or my personal favorite, Omaha Prime, located in the heart of the Old Market District.
I have heard of Omaha Prime before. Didn't Raisin Bran and Swanson's TV's dinners also come from Omaha?
So I can't claim Raisin Bran. Omaha cannot claim that Raisin Bran was created in Omaha, but the Swansons did immigrate to Omaha. Carl Swanson immigrated to Omaha, and that's where he started the TV dinners, like you mentioned. So his sons actually began that, Gilbert and Clark. And it was around the 1950s, and they sold their first frozen dinner for 98 cents. It was a Thanksgiving dinner, which included turkey, cornbread dressing, frozen peas, and sweet potatoes.
Oh, wow, but that's amazing.
We can't claim Raisin Bran, but cake mix and butter frickle ice cream were both created in Omaha. So we do have some fun foods that come from the city.
That's really fun. Now, I may happen to be testing my NCBA knowledge here, but does Omaha still have the world's largest stockyard and the world's largest rail yard?
So we do not have the world's largest stockyard anymore, but we did in the 1950s. The Omaha's livestock market became the largest in the world and surpassed Chicago. Every day, in the 50s, thousands of cattle, hogs, sheep were shipped to Omaha's pens, where then they would be sold to packing houses. They were shipped by rail and then later by truck once time began to pass. Today, the former site of the Union Stockyards is actually the site of the Stockyards Historical Redevelopment District. So it is a project in South Omaha with, actually, we have a Metro Community College campus that is being developed there right now. So we are still using that land. And you did touch on the world's largest rail yard. Actually, that's a Nebraska piece of history, but it is currently located in North Platte.
Okay, well, we were
so
close anyway. Let's talk about your museums, Jessica. I'm especially curious about the Strategic Air Command Museum. Why and when was the SAC based in Omaha?
So you touched on a good one. That's one of my favorites, Dan. The Strategic Air and Space Command Museum, we refer to it as the SAC Museum. It was opened in 1959 with a mission to commemorate the aircraft of the Strategic Air Command. And it was based in Omaha because of the close relationship that it had with Offutt Air Force Base, which is also located in Omaha. So the community leaders just began a campaign, and definitely we have a big civic pride here in Omaha and support for the Offutt Air Force Base. And so that's kind of why the SAC Museum came to be. And now it moved to its current location in 1998. So that is a state-of-the-art venue for the restoration of aircraft preservation and display of historic artifacts and the education of future generations.
And speaking of history, Omaha has a dozen historic districts and about 100 properties on the National Register of Historic Places. Could you share some of those?
Absolutely. So back to the Reuben. The Reuben was actually invented at the Blackstone Hotel, and currently we have some developers really putting their hearts and souls into the Blackstone Historic District. So that is a good place for you to stop if you guys are ever through Omaha. It's a few blocks of a lot of food, and that's just a good foodie place, actually. We also have the Old Market, which used to be called Jobber's Canyon, and it's a bunch of old it's a cobblestone street. It's about a four-block radius, and it has actually the most restaurants per capita in the nation. So on those four city blocks, you have the most restaurants that you can find in the nation per capita. Another district is probably Benson and Dundee. Those are some good places, again, to get some good food. Actually, in Dundee is Warren Buffett's favorite ice cream shop, Eat Creamery. You do talk about some historic properties that are on the National Register of Historic Places. And I do want to touch on a few of my favorite buildings around the city and just point those out. So the Aquila Court building, you will notice, is now the Magnolia Hotel. That went from about 220 office spaces and high-end apartments to 130 hotel rooms with 15 suites, and their presidential is just amazing. It is a very, very large room. You also have the Astro Theater, which is now the Rose Theater, which was saved by Rose Blumkin with the help of her granddaughter. She actually sent her granddaughter with a blank check and said, go purchase that and save that from demolition. So that we have that theater, which is the world's largest children's theater to this day. And then the Blackstone Hotel in the Blackstone District is being restored and to its former glory and will be an amazing property once it opens this spring. So spring of 2020, it is opening its doors as the Blackstone Hotel again. We will call it the Cottonwood from here on out. And then you also have the Joplin Castle, which is a Scottish castle built in 1903 in the middle of Omaha. It's just right off of our main Dodge Street, off of the Dodge Corridor, and you would never know it's sitting in the middle of a neighborhood, and it's a Scottish castle. So that is another beautiful, beautiful building.
So St. Louis and Omaha, I feel like we're getting such a pop culture knowledge right now of everything, but they both claim the nickname Gateway to the West. Isn't the Omaha claim a bit more accurate?
I would agree with that statement. Yes, it is more accurate, only due to the fact that we have the eastern terminus of the Transcontinental Railroad, which Ken will touch on a little later, which really allowed people to begin to travel west. That's really how people got across the country, is because of that railroad, which originated in Omaha.
Wow. And while we're filling the facts up, is it true that the first ski lift was invented and created in Omaha?
Yes, it was. A place with no skiing. It's kind of a head-turner, that's for sure. So actually, Union Pacific, one of our Fortune 500 companies, invented the ski lift about 75 years ago. It was one of our engineers that got to work on figuring out how to get the skiers up the slopes. And we didn't have the mountainous terrain to figure out what speed they would go at, but they ended up figuring it out, and it debuted at the Sun Valley Resort in Idaho. But it was invented by an engineer right here in Omaha.
Wow. All right. And how did Boys Town get started, and does it still exist?
Yes, it does still exist. It was started by Father Flanagan. He bought a home for about $90 in the downtown area and took in five boys off the street. Originally, he was working with homeless men, but he didn't feel like he was getting very far with them, so he turned to homeless boys and took in five, and then that was in December of 1917, and then by spring, he had about 100 boys living with him. So he soon had to figure out where to house all the boys that were coming to his care, and he ended up buying the Overlook Farm, which is on the outskirts of Omaha then, and now it's West Omaha. I would consider it West Omaha now, and that's where the village of Boys Town currently is. And they do have their own zip code and their own post office, so it is the village of Boys Town. And they do all, they're still, the national headquarters remain in Omaha, as one of the largest nonprofit child care agencies in the country. So, yes, it does still exist, and it's a very big impact on the country.
Speaking about a big impact, Johnny Carson started his career on WOW Radio in 1950. Wasn't it right after that the Top 40 radio also originated in Omaha?
Yes, it was, Dan. You touched on a good one. So Todd Storrs was the inventor of Top 40 radio format at his radio station, KOWH, in Omaha. So he did invent that format in the early 1950s, and that is around the same time that Johnny was getting his start just down the street at WOW Radio.
I would say wow, but that's redundant. I want to tell our listeners, you're listening to Travel with Radio with Dan Schlossberg and Keita Roberts. Subject tonight is beautiful Omaha, Nebraska. Listen live on iTunes or blogtalkradio.com, or check out the archive show on Facebook. Keita?
All right. Well, it is a presidential election year. So what is Omaha's connection to the Gallup poll?
You know, I wish we could say we had more of a connection, but simply we just house Gallup's operational headquarters in Omaha. They have a beautiful building on the riverfront, and definitely does great things for Omaha's economy, but that's about it for when it comes to the presidential election.
Okay, well, Travel with Radio listeners know that I love baseball almost as much as Keita loves meat, so we need to tell them that Omaha hosts the College World Series and starting this year, the amateur draft for Major League Baseball. You had your first Major League game featuring the Kansas City Royals last year at TD Ameritrade Park, and you have a minor league team with a terrific but daring nickname, the Omaha Storm Chasers. Tell us about the stadium and the nearby baseball park.
We definitely love our baseball here in Omaha, Dan. We have been home to the College World Series since 1950. It was hosted at Rosenblatt Stadium until about 2010. Rosenblatt was right next to our world-class zoo, Omaha Henry Dorley Zoo, but in 2011, it did move to the TD Ameritrade Park, which is in our north downtown area, which we call NoDo. So that stadium is a huge. It was a $20 million dollar baseball stadium for the city, and it's actually has one of the best sculptures in my mind. It has the Road to Omaha sculpture, which is the same artist that actually created our Omar sculpture, our own river troll in Omaha now that goes under the Bob Carey Bridge. But back to the stadium, that statue, it's a great place for players to celebrate when they come to Omaha, that it symbolizes the road that they had to take to get here, to get to the College World Series, and the photos that come out of it, of the excitement of finally making it to Omaha is pretty special for us in the city. It's a wonderful piece of entertainment that we have during the city and during the month of June, and we are very blessed to have it.
That's incredible. Now, people know the names of Mutual of Omaha and Union Pacific, but doesn't Omaha actually have a number of Fortune 500 and Fortune 1000 firms?
We do, Keita, and you touched Mutual of Omaha and Union Pacific are one of our two larger ones, but also Berkshire Hathaway. Warren Buffett's prize and treasure is actually currently number four, for 2019. We also have Kiewit, Kiewit Construction, and then we were the headquarters for ConAgra, but it recently relocated to Chicago. So we did have five there for a while, and then a few years ago, ConAgra relocated. But for Fortune 1000 companies, we can add TD Ameritrade in there, as well as Valmont, and then Warner Enterprises. And really, all these firms got their start in Omaha, which is just amazing for us.
And speaking of railroads, since we mentioned Union Pacific, let's bring in our second guest, Ken Schleuder. I hope I pronounced that right, Ken, who hosted a railroad tour I took when I was in town. Ken, between Omaha and neighboring Council Bluffs, Iowa, there are at least three great railroad museums we need to mention. Let's hear about the Union Pacific Museum and also the Durham Museum, which is the former Union Pacific Station.
Well, hi, Dan. Thank you for having me. The Union Pacific Railroad Museum is located in Council Bluffs, Iowa, right across the Missouri River from Omaha. It's in an old Carnegie Library that was built in 1905. It opened up as a museum in 2003. The first floor is dedicated to the Transcontinental Railroad and the early settlers to the west. The second floor talks about modern railroad technology. There is a locomotive simulator and a passenger train exhibit. Passenger trains had a peak in about between 1920 and 1950. And the exhibit talks about that, what a wonderful way was to travel back in the day. Now, another great railroad museum is the Durham Museum in Omaha. It's the former Union Pacific Railroad Union Station, and it was used by Union Pacific and several other railroads. You can walk through historic passenger cars, lounge cars, and Pullman cars. It has an old-fashioned soda fountain, a huge model train layout. There is a replica of Warren Buffett's grandfather's grocery store, where Warren worked as a youth, a fantastic coin collection, and it's an affiliate of the Smithsonian Institution, so they bring in a lot of special, outstanding exhibits.
Now, the Durham is an Art Deco museum that not only showcases the railroad history, but also the history of Omaha, and I understand that a million members of our armed forces passed through en route to deployment during World War II. Are those memories preserved in the bronze statues in the pews?
Yes, they are, Keita. There are a number of bronze statues spread throughout the Great Hall on or near the benches where the passengers once waited for trains. The statues talk to you, and some represent members of the military. One statue is of a young man leaving for duty. Another statue is of that same man who is much older when the station was closing at the end of the passenger service.
Ken, please tell our listeners why Omaha was picked as the eastern terminus of the Transcontinental Railroad and how that railroad was built.
In 1859, Abraham Lincoln visited Contrabus, Iowa. Now, he was not president yet, but he wanted to be, and he had a dream of building a transcontinental railroad to California if he was elected. When in Contrabus, he was introduced to Grenville Dodge. Now, Grenville Dodge was a prominent Contrabus citizen who knew a lot about railroads because he was a railroad surveyor for railroads in the East Coast. Now, Mr. Lincoln asked Dodge, if I get elected president, where should that transcontinental railroad start? And Dodge said that Omaha would be the best place. So Abraham Lincoln said, thank you for that advice. Well, sure enough, Lincoln was elected president. And in 1862, he signed the Pacific Railway Act, which authorized the building of the Transcontinental Railroad. Now, some people wanted to start the railroad north of Omaha. Some wanted to start it south. But Abraham Lincoln remembered his conversation with Mr. Dodge in Contrabus and says, you know what, we're going to start it right here in Omaha. So in 1865, the Union Pacific started construction in Omaha and built from east to west. Central Pacific started out in California, and they built from west to east. And then they met in Promontory Summit, Utah in 1869 and pounded the Golden Spike into the ground. Now, that decision to start the railroad in Omaha is really what jump-started Omaha.
Well, I want to recommend, and I don't know if you're aware of it, I'm sure you are, there was a series called Hell on Wheels about the building of the Transcontinental Railroad. Have you seen that, Ken?
I have. It's wonderful.
And one thing that really impressed me about that series, they kept changing the location of the capitals in each state. As the railroad changed its location, they would change the capital. So people would invest in real estate, and all of a sudden it would be worth nothing.
That's very true. And a lot of those towns, most of the towns did not even exist until the railroad got there. So that's why it was so significant to build that railroad.
Right. And the western terminus, I believe, was Sacramento. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. And we've got to talk about narrow gauge steam locomotives that still work at the Omaha Zoo. What's that all about?
We have a wonderful Omaha Zoo, and Union Pacific kind of stepped up, and they came up with two steam locomotives. And they navigate at 3.5 miles of track within the zoo. And the Union Pacific actually built that and maintains it today. And nearby the zoo is our beautiful botanical garden. And outside those gardens, there are two full-size locomotives are on display. The Centennial, which is the world's largest diesel-electric locomotive, and the Big Boy, which is the world's largest steam locomotive.
Yeah, I've seen that Big Boy in action at Steamtown National Historic Park, which is in Scranton, Pennsylvania. That's really something to see in action. And that was a Union Pacific engine, wasn't it?
Yeah, I believe it was.
Okay. And, Ken, what is your own railroad background?
Well, my own railroad background is I'm born and raised here, and I worked for Union Pacific for 38 years. I worked in the finance department. And helped manage about a $3 or $4 billion annual capital budget. Retired about 6 or 7 years ago. That was a very stressful job, so now I do fun stuff like this.
Okay, Keita, take the next one.
So since we're talking about transportation, how close is your airport to downtown, and how good are the connections to other major cities?
Our airport is roughly 4 miles from downtown. We have 33 nonstop destinations, including Houston, Atlanta, Los Angeles, New York, and Orlando. Our airport was rated number one in customer satisfaction. They recently completed a new additional $20 million parking garage, and there's a future $500 million renovation and expansion that is planned is going to happen soon.
Wow. So, Ken, how do our Travel Itch Radio listeners learn more about Omaha and everything it has to offer?
You can visit our wonderful website, which is visitomaha.com. It is an outstanding website. It tells you everything there is to do in Omaha, from restaurants to museums and everything to do. There's a wonderful calendar there that shows you what things are going on the time you're going to be in Omaha. It's just a very, very well-done website, and there's a wealth of information there. You can always call Jessica, too. Jessica's a wonderful resource.
Well, I don't know that we should be giving out personal phone numbers, but she's an awesome resource. I know that, like I said, having worked in the food industry for so long and being a meathead, you know, Omaha's been on my bucket list travel just so I can come through and enjoy a steak in the Meat City. You guys have been wonderful guests. Our special guests tonight have been Ken, and I'm going to get your name wrong, I apologize, Schluter, and Jessica Walsham. Yes?
Wyson, but yes, thank you.
Wyson, oh, and see, I knew I was going to get them both wrong. I tried like five times.
You got mine perfect.
Visit Omaha. Woo, one out of two. visit Omaha,
average.
And thank you. Exactly, it's a 50%. Thank you so much for being our guest on Travel Itch Radio this evening.
Thank you.
Before we let you guys go, I'd like to ask you, is there anything you would like to add that we haven't asked? Jessica?
Oh, that's a toughie. Yeah, you know, we talked about a lot of good things. You know, you even brought some stuff to my attention that I did not know. But, you know, Omaha is ever growing, and we got some great things coming. And actually, I will touch on, we are entering a $300 million redevelopment of our riverfront right now, and that is set to be done in 2021. So definitely, if you guys are coming in and doing your travels, and that's going to have a dog park, a pavilion, cafes, street side cafes, and a sculpture garden, and it's just going to be a wonderful, wonderful place in the heart of downtown. That's really going to connect that old market to more of the business district, if you want to say. And then after 2021, we're going to tackle the riverfront, and we're going to make that a wonderful place for those, you know, summer night strolls down the riverfront and concerts and that kind of thing. So we've got a lot coming up for Omaha. We have a lot of rich history, but a lot of good things in the future as well.
Sounds good. Ken, anything you'd like to add?
Please come visit us. When I do my bus tours, everybody is always surprised how much there is to do here and how friendly everybody is here. We do like to eat. We have a wonderful craft brewery scene here. So if you like beer, there's lots and lots of options.
Okay, and I will vouch for the Omaha steaks. They were wonderful. Every single day I had at least a little piece. So really,
great.
Really good. Okay,
glad to hear,
and
Dan.
Thanks so much. Both of you guys really enjoyed having you. And I want to tell our listeners, with Valentine's Day and baseball spring training just a few weeks away, how about a sweet gift that is cheaper than flowers and just as sweet? That's my book, The New Baseball Bible, an unorthodox illustrated history. That's not only the most unusual baseball book ever published, but costs less than a sawbuck. Such a deal. Order on Amazon.com today as a gift for your favorite baseball fan or even for yourself. And that's it for this edition of Travel Itch Radio. Next week, we'll go even further west when we talk to Brigitte Vaughn, Director of Global Media Relations for Sonoma County, California. Now, this is Dan Schlossberg, along with my terrific new partner, Keita Roberts, saying thank you for your time this time. Until next time. Good night.